Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, I believe, maybe more. Yes, 18 through 20. I apologize. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they may be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. May God add to the reading of His Scripture. It is this morning we want to look at the subject of repentance. And repentance is one of those things I think is sometimes mischaracterized or misunderstood by a lot of people. The word repentance literally means, the Greek word for repentance, literally means to turn around and go in a different direction. To turn from the way you're going and go in a different way. And it is important for all of us as Christian people to understand that at times we all need to repent. We need to turn around and go in a different direction. Sometimes that need is great, and sometimes that need is kind of a desirable thing. There is a little story, I guess, as an icebreaker this morning. There were two country preachers in Arkansas had a sign up in front of their church, little dirt road out in the middle of nowhere. The sign, big letters, said, "Turn around now, the end is near." They were sitting out there by the sign, and this car come by and yelled at them, said, "You religious nuts, leave me alone, I'll do what I want." In a moment there was screeching of tires and a crash and breaking of glass. And one of the preachers turned to the other one and says, "You know, maybe we ought to change the sign to just say the bridge is out." Right. It would be good to turn around and go in the other direction if you're headed down that road, right? Well, spiritually, we kind of do the same thing. We need occasionally to turn ourselves around, and especially those people who are lost, who are on a path that is going to end up in their own destruction. And one of the things about going in the wrong direction is that you can never get to where you're wanting to go if you're going in the wrong direction. If I go out here and decide that I'm going to go to Dallas and I get down to Highway 75 and turn north and start going north instead of south, I can have all of the best intentions in the world. I can be very positive and say to myself, "I know I'm going to get there," or the one that I particularly love when people say, "Well, to me, this is the best route to get there," etc., etc. None of that matters. You're not going to get to Dallas by going north on Highway 75. Not going to happen. Maybe you will get to McAllister, maybe you'll get on past that, you may even get to Canada, but you will not get to Dallas. You're going in the wrong direction. There are a lot of people in our world today who are going in the wrong direction and telling themselves, "As long as I am positive about what I'm doing, or as long as I believe in what I'm doing, or as long as it is my business, I'll go the way I want, that someday I'll get where I intend to go." And that is just simply not the case. You have to be going in the right direction if you're going to get to where you want to go. Sometimes this gets to be a very serious matter. You have probably all experienced, as I have, and it happened to me not too long ago. I got on the access road to Highway 82, and I saw a car turn the wrong direction and head the wrong way. And you know, it scared me to death when I saw a car going in the wrong direction. You think that could end up in the death and a great deal of pain of a lot of people getting on a major highway, an interstate highway, going in the wrong direction can kill people. It can destroy things. Well, let me tell you something in life, spiritually. If you head down the wrong direction, it can do just as much damage to your own soul and to your family and to the people that you love as that person getting on a highway and going in the wrong direction. It is a serious matter. And so that's what repentance is. There are a number of scriptures, especially in the New Testament, where we see God telling people to repent, to turn around. Matthew 3, chapters or verses 1 and 2, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 4, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which were in the region of shadow of death, light sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Acts chapter 3, the apostles preach, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance is important, and certainly it is absolutely required for a person to be born again. You have to turn from your sin and change your life, or you will not be born again. And that's as simple, I think, as we can possibly put it. But it's not just lost people who have to repent. I think that comes as a shock to a lot of Christian people. But there are a lot of very well-meaning Christian people that get going in the wrong direction from time to time, and they also need to turn around. They need to change the direction they're going. They need to repent. As I mentioned earlier, Becky and I will have been married 43 years if we make it to next Thursday. And I hope and pray we do. It looks promising, I'll say it that way. We would not have gotten to this point without both of us repenting to the other at various different times. You see, you get your mind going in the wrong direction when you're married to someone, and if you don't straighten that out, it will end up creating a tremendous issue. And I think a lot of couples end up divorced simply because they're too proud to step up and say, you know, I've been going the wrong way. I'm going at this thing wrong. I need to change my way of thinking. That's the same with you and I and our life as a Christian. We get to thinking wrong sometimes, and we need to turn around from that. I think it is human nature for us to think more of ourselves than we probably ought to. I remember growing up in the country, I do love country people, and especially old farmers. They have a way of cutting through all of the nonsense and saying something with such an economy of words. And one of the sayings that I remember from my youth, talking about people who were a bit puffed up, if you could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, you could do well. I think sometimes as Christians, we kind of get that way. We get to thinking about how important we are and how much we are needed and how we are should be the center of attention. We ought to get the attention. And the truth is, we're just people, all of us. Me, you, every one of us. I learned very early on as a minister that I'm no Billy Graham. I'm not a great orator. I'm not the most educated or the most intellectual. I'm not the most studied person. I'm me. And God gave me a job to do, And as long as I recognize that I'm just a person and try to do what God wants me to do, I do well. But if I get off thinking that I'm a somebody and I start trying to make everybody else think that I'm really a somebody, I end up in trouble. I need to repent of that. I need to change my way of thinking. And sometimes Christian people get involved in sin. I'm sorry, but it happens. That's just a reality. Sometimes Christian people do things that they ought not do, that are wrong, and they know they're wrong, but they do them anyway. We are human. We're fallible. We're going to make mistakes, and sometimes we're just flat going to go in the wrong direction. And when we do, we need to repent. We need to turn around and go in the right direction. So this morning, I want us to look at some of the elements of repentance. What is involved in repenting? There are some things that have to be there. You can't repent without these. The first one is a genuine understanding that you have done wrong or that you're going in the wrong direction. If we don't get that what we have done is wrong, we can never repent of that wrong thing. You know, we might say, and I've heard people say this before, when they would be called up on something they had done wrong, they might say, well, I'm sorry that you interpreted what I said in a certain way. No, that's not really apologizing. That's not repenting. I'm sorry that it appears that I did this or that or something else. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry if... Why don't you just come out and say, look, I was wrong. I admit I was wrong. I'll own up to my being wrong, and I want to make it right. You cannot repent until you understand that you've done wrong. And if you never understand that, you will never change your direction. You will never fix your problem. In Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the things that they require people to do, I'm told, I've not actually been to a meeting, but I'm told that the first thing you have to do is stand up and say, I am so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. You have to admit to what you are. And I think that is a necessary first step in order to turn around and go in a different direction. Number two, you must confess your wrongs. In order to be forgiven for your sin, you must confess your sin. It is not enough to just say to yourself, I won't do that anymore. Have you ever done that? I have, I'll be honest. You know, I'm driving down the highway and I'm going way too fast and it dawns on me, you're about to get a ticket, and I'll slow down and say, you know, I won't do that anymore. And there are a lot more things that can be a lot more serious. I think sometimes when people get involved in wrong behavior, they'll tell themselves, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I don't know what good turning leaves over does. I've never really gotten that. But people say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be different. If you really want to be different, confess your sin. Now, you don't have to come to me. Please don't. I don't want to know, right? I know that there are those churches where you go to the priest or you go to the whomever and you say, I've done this and this and this. I don't need that, and you don't need to tell me what you've done. So here's the way confession ought to work. If I do something to you, if I sin against you, I need to come to you and say, you know what? I was wrong and I did something wrong. I lied to you. I stole from you. I've talked about you. I've done whatever. Make that thing right with the person that you've wronged. Now, if you have done something very public, then you need to publicly say, I've done wrong. A public sin requires a public confession. And not a, well, maybe you understood that what I did may have been interpreted as being, no. You come up and say, listen, I did wrong. I knew a church, and I may have mentioned this once before in a sermon, but I knew a church where at Easter, they all went out to hunt Easter eggs. The kids were hunting Easter eggs, and the adults went out watching them, what have you. Some of the ladies left their purses in the church, and this young man went in the church while everyone was outside and pilfered through them and found a credit card and stole it and started using it. Of course, he was caught within the day. It didn't take long to figure out what had happened. And his mother wanted him to come back to church, which was a good thing. And the pastor said, yes, he needs to come to church, and he needs to get up in front, and he needs to publicly say, I did this, and I'm sorry, I was wrong. She said, oh, he's not going to do that. I don't want to embarrass him. I don't want to humiliate him. He needed to do that. If you do something wrong, especially if you do it publicly, you need to publicly say, I did something wrong, and I admit it. Confession is good for the soul, but confession is required. If you sin against God, confess to God. If you sin against a person, confess to the person. Ask forgiveness. When we repent of sin, when we turn around, we must ask forgiveness. It is not enough to just recognize that we've done wrong and even to say what I did was wrong. We need to ask for forgiveness. If someone does something to you and they come to you and say, I have done wrong, I wronged you, and I want to ask your forgiveness, we are required, and we will, forgive. I don't know of anybody that will say, nope, I'm going to hold a grudge and I'm not going to let that thing go. And if they do, that's on them. You've done what you're supposed to do. If you wrong somebody, confess it and ask forgiveness. And then number four, change your behavior. You know, you can turn around all you want, but I think a lot of people do a 360. They turn all the way around and they keep going in the wrong direction. That's not good enough. That doesn't accomplish anything. If you're doing wrong, you need to turn around and go in a different direction. I think of it in this way. If my neighbor came to me and said, you know, I stole something from you and I'm ashamed of it and I want you to forgive me and I'm giving it back. And then the next week he came and said, I stole something from you and I'm sorry, I want you to forgive me. And then the next week he came and did the same thing. There would get to be a point where I would say, you know, we're kind of stuck in a rut here. We need to change behavior. It is important that when we do wrong, when we go the other direction, we change our behavior. I guess you could liken it if I came home one evening and kicked my dog and then later got her up in my lap and petted her and say, oh, I'm so sorry and whatever. The next evening came home and kicked my dog again. She's probably not going to understand me getting her up in my lap and apologizing. She's just going to know every evening he comes in and kicks me, right? We're going to have to change our behavior. And that is so important. You know, change can be easy and change can be very difficult. If you get on one of these little jet skis out here at the lake, you can turn that thing around on a dime. You can be going one direction and zip, going the other direction quickly. But if you're in a super tanker, a giant ship, an aircraft carrier, you can't turn that around on a dime. In fact, I understand that to turn some of the larger ships around takes hours and hours and costs hundreds of thousands of dollars in man hour and fuel and time. it's not an easy process to turn one of those. Such is the case with you and I. If we get involved in doing something wrong and we're in it for a long, long time, it gets harder and harder and harder to change our behavior because it becomes so ingrained and so natural in us. I think about the U.S. government. It's going in the wrong direction. I think we're all aware of that. But it is so big, such a large bureaucracy, such a swamp, it's going to be really, really hard to turn it around. One man is not going to get elected and boom, the U.S. government turn around and be completely different. It's just not going to happen. If it happens, it will take years and it will be difficult and it will cause pain. Sometimes we as people and we as churches have to turn around and go in a different direction, and it can be difficult and it requires effort and it requires work. I tell people, come to the altar, get on your knees before God and ask forgiveness. But when you get up and walk out those doors, you will meet the same problems you had when you came in here. If you have an addiction, you're still going to have to face that addiction. If you have people that are around you that are involved in wrong things and you're doing wrong, they're still going to be there. All of those issues that you have dealt with in your life are still there, and to turn around and go in a different direction is going to require a lot of prayer, a lot of work, a lot of effort, and maybe some pain. But it's worth it. If you're going in the wrong direction, it is worth it. We must do restitution. When we have wronged another person, or when we have wronged God, we have a requirement not to just confess, not to just change, but to restore that person. If I steal from you, I'm required to give it back to you. If I have lied about you, I'm required to come and try to make that right. And whomever I lied to about you, I need to go to them and say, I lied about this person. They're not that. They're not bad. That was me, and that's on me. If I want to really change what I am, I will restore the person that I have wronged. Now, that works for people, but how do I do restitution to God? There is no way that I can pay for my sin. I can't live well enough. I could sell everything I own and try to go give it to the poor. I could spend the rest of my life in the worst slum in the world, serving the poorest people in the world, and it would not pay for my sin at all. So how am I supposed to do restitution to God? Jesus Christ came to a cross, shed His blood for my restitution. That's what I have to cling to. That's what I have to believe in. I know that the precious blood of Jesus was shed for me, for my sin, because I could not restore myself to a right relationship to God. Restitution requires that I go to Jesus and I ask His forgiveness and I ask His blood. And that's a serious thing. When I get on my knees and I ask God's forgiveness, and I say, you know, as restitution, I am calling on the blood of your Son. That's a serious matter. God takes that seriously. We ought to also, not to lightly say, forgive me for my sin in the name of Jesus and go on and do about what I'm doing. It's serious to say, Father, your Son died on a cross for my sins, and I am asking your forgiveness, and the only price I have to pay is your Son, the blood He shed. Forgiveness is a very, very sweet thing. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that the relationship between individuals and our relationship to God is better after sincere repentance than before the wrong ever happened. Now, I know that's a stretch, isn't it? If I wrong you, or if you wrong me, and you come to me and say, Pastor Stephen, I've wronged you. I'm asking your forgiveness. I'm changing. I'm going in a different direction. I want to make it right. If that is done honestly and I forgive you, our relationship will be stronger than it was before the wrong happened. You say, well, that's crazy. Why is that? Because I will know that you care enough about our relationship to humiliate yourself into going through that confession and making it right. I learn something about you that you sincerely are wanting to do the right thing. And our relationship becomes stronger. When we go to God and we say, look, I have sinned. This is what I've done wrong and I know it. And I confess it, and I ask your forgiveness, and I claim the blood of Jesus. When we are sincere in doing that, and He forgives us, our relationship becomes stronger than it was before. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm not telling you go out and commit sin so that you can have a stronger relationship with God, obviously. But when you find yourself doing something wrong, make it right. Make it right. And when you do that, you will grow as a person. None of us are perfect. Not a single one of us. We're going to do wrong things. You're going to hurt my feelings, and I'm going to hurt your feelings. I do it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. And I'll say that as sincerely as I can. I have never set out to hurt anybody in church. And I worry. One of my fears is that I know a lot of people who come to church and say, you know, we were hurt at such and such church and we didn't want to go back. And I've had a lot of people. In fact, I would almost say the majority of people that are going here at some point in their life have had a bad experience in church. And a lot of people are driven away from church and they never go back. And I pray to God that it is never because of something I do that a person leaves church and never comes back. But here's the truth. I'm human, and I'm liable to do something stupid. I'm liable to hurt your feelings. I'm liable to do something absolutely wrong. And when I do, I pray that I have the faith and the strength to come to you, or you come to me, and let's sit down and work it out. Because if we will, we'll be stronger Christians, we'll be stronger friends, and we'll be a stronger church. This morning, I want to invite you to start with repentance. If you've got sin in your life, don't put it aside. Don't trivialize it. Don't set it aside. Come up here to an altar this morning, and let's get it taken care of. Let's do the right thing.